Literally, it means partaker or participant. Okay? John was a participant with us in three things. Number one, in tribulation. You know what tribulation is, right? Tribulation is literally the word, the Greek word means pressure or pressing together. He was our companion or participant in the kingdom of God. Of course, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then finally, our participant or companion in patience, which is endurance. Okay? Now, I want you to understand, we look and we read of men like John the Baptist, and I said who, I'm sorry, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, who was a prisoner for his faith, a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. First thing I want you to understand is that there is a price to be paid for Jesus Christ. We often talk about, you know, our salvation and it being a free gift, and it is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You don't deserve it. It's all bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. But I want you to understand also that being a child of God is not easy. Okay? It's not, there will come a time when you, as a child of God, will face tribulation if you have not already faced it, okay? Many think things like tribulation and endurance are for preachers and for missionaries. Listen, No, sir. It's not for preachers and missionaries, even though if you're a pastor, I have figured out somewhere along the way, you're going to feel pressure, okay? I've been through times as a pastor that I thought, my goodness, Lord, it's not supposed to be this way as I was going through it. And then I realized, well, yeah, it is supposed to be this way because being a child and a servant of the living God is not supposed to be easy. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Listen, it's not easy, but there will come a day when you have to take a stand. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of our greatest problems in Christianity today. We want to, you know, just kind of roll with the punches and float, no, make no waves. There comes a time when you need to stand before the world and before your friends and before everyone that's around you, your family and everyone else. You must take a stand for Jesus Christ as a child of God. I think we need that in our schools from our young people. We need that in our workplaces from our adults. We need that in the church. Even though it may appear costly at the time, any stand taken for Christ is worth it. And you know, as I said this morning, it's going to be okay. There may be a price paid, but you know, I like Paul's words in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." My friends, we as children of God will face pressure. We will face tribulation, and we will have to endure that tribulation. Okay? John shared with us that he was our companion in tribulation and endurance. And look where it brought him there in verse 10. Okay? He said, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." When's the Lord's day? What? Every day? Amen. It is. The Lord's day that John was talking about here. Sunday. Okay? First day of the week. The day of the resurrection. That's why we worship on Sunday. But I find it most interesting as John here, he said, "I was in the what? Spirit on the Lord's day." I was in the Spirit on what? Why was this? Well, if you read commentaries, most commentaries will tell you that John was in a trance. I don't think that's it at all. Okay? I think John was where he should be on the day of worship. He was in the Spirit worshiping his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? You ever think about, have you ever been in the Spirit? Have you ever been in the Spirit of worship? Okay? I think that's what John was here at this point. And you may disagree with me, but you know, the Bible says, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I think that's what was going on with John. There's nothing here to indicate that he's been transported to anywhere at this point. Now, later on, he's gonna take off, all right? But right now, he just simply says, I'm in the Spirit. And what is going on? He's worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Yeah. Worship is not a ritual. You know that? It's not a ceremony. It's not about who sings a special and who doesn't. It's not about stand here, sit there, pray now, sing then. And I'm all about organization and worship, okay? I love a service that has been planned for the honor and the glory of God, okay? I really believe if we're going to give God our best, then we better plan to give God our best and work toward that, okay? But just because you came and you stood when you were supposed to and you sat when you were supposed to and you prayed when you were supposed to, that doesn't mean you've worshiped. Okay? Again, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What's it talking about? It's not talking about all that ceremony. It's talking about a worship that comes from the inside. Okay? The Spirit that John was in, I believe. Now, and don't get me wrong, okay? I don't believe God's going to give you a new book to the Bible like he gave John, all right? Okay? But I do believe if you're going to worship God in acceptable manner, it's going to have to be way beyond the standing, sitting, kneeling, and all that. It's going to have to be a worship that comes from the inside. And that's what was going on with John at that particular time. I believe it was the Lord's day, and he was giving God the glory on the Lord's day. And and he has a vision. And I want to preach this about, I can't stand it, but it'd mess up next Sunday, so I'm not going to do it, okay? And he had a special vision in this worship. God opened his eyes to something that he had never seen before. And we're going to cover that next Sunday, okay? But let's end there in verse 11. The end of verse 10, and I heard behind me a loud voice of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. It was in that spiritual state where everything else was shut out, everything else was tuned out, and John was in tune to God, worshiping him in spirit and truth, that God spoke to him again, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Does it sound like we're repeating ourselves again? We covered that this morning, but you know what? That's the long and the short of it. It's all about God. Why are you here today? I hope you're here today because it's all about Jesus Christ. Why are you going to live next week? Why are you going to share the gospel with someone that you work with next week? It better be because it's all about Jesus Christ. Why will you come back next Sunday? I hope because it's all about Jesus Christ. Listen, when he was here, before the earth was ever created, he was the one that said, let there be light. Let there be, and create all of Genesis chapter 1. And you know what? The thing that we need to grab hold of is when it's all said and done, after those demons of hell are come up out of the bottomless pit, and after all the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments, and after it's all said and done, and Satan is locked away in the lake of fire to never be heard from again, you know who's going to be standing? It's going to be Jesus. It's all about Him. This book of Revelation, as he said from the very beginning, is the revelation of the judgment of Jesus Christ. And the one thing that should be important in our life right now, okay? A lot of things we consider important, but the one thing that really is Jesus. You know, it's amazing how you change the older you get. A lot of things I used to think were important are not nearly as important as they once was. You know? I look and I say, you know, that don't matter. What matters is Jesus. And one day, I and everyone will stand before Jesus, the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things that we've done in this flesh. And all those little piddly things that we've concerned ourselves with, you know, I don't think Jesus is going to be impressed. I think it's going to be, what did you do for the kingdom of Christ? Yeah, that's what's important. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If something doesn't change in your life, you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And that book's going to be open, that Lamb's Book of Life, and it will reveal that your name is not in there, and you'll hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you'll be cast into the lake of fire, the place prepared for Satan and his angels. Listen, if you're not saved, why not be saved tonight? You're a prayer away from salvation by simply asking. By simply calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. We want to give you that opportunity as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance that we have in you. We thank you that you are the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, you were here before it all started, and you will be standing victorious when it's all over. And Lord, we just rejoice in the salvation that you have so freely offered to all of mankind. Thank you, Lord, for your love, and I pray now that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.